The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 33. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari. Recorded on August 8th, 2012, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tribhuvana.
Tribhuvana.
Kamanam.
Kamanam.
Tamala.
Tamala.
Varnam.
Varnam.
Ravikara.
Ravikara.
Gora.
Gora.
Varambaram.
Varambaram.
Dadhane.
Dadhane.
Vapu.
Vapu.
Alaka.
Alaka.
Kula.
Kula.
Avrita.
Avrita.
Anana.
Abjam.
Abjam. Vijaya.
Vijaya.
Sake.
Sake.
Rati.
Rati.
Astu.
Astu.
Me.
Me.
Anavadya. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Tribhuvana kamanam.
Tribhuvana kamanam.
Tamalavarnam.
Tamalavarnam.
Ravigora.
Ravigora.
Excuse me. Ravikara.
Ravikara.
Goravara.
Goravara.
Ambaram dadane.
Ambaram dadane.
Vapur.
Vapur.
Alaka.
Alaka.
Kulavritanunabjam.
Kulavritanunabjam.
Vijaya sake.
Vijaya sake.
Ratir.
Ratir.
Astume.
Astume.
Navadya.
Navadya.
Tribhuvana.
Tribhuvana.
Three statuses of planetary systems.
Three statuses of planetary systems.
Kamanam.
Kamanam.
The most desirable.
The most desirable.
Tamalavarnam.
Tamalavarnam.
Bluish like the tamal tree.
Bluish like the tamal tree.
Ravikara.
Ravikara.
Sun rays.
Sun
rays. Gora.
Gora.
Golden color.
Golden color.
Varambaram.
Varambaram.
Glittering dress.
Glittering dress.
Dadhane.
Dadhane.
One who wears.
One who wears.
Vapu.
Vapu.
Body.
Body.
Alaka kula avrita.
Alaka kula avrita.
Covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp.
Covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp.
Anana abjam.
Anana abjam.
Face like a lotus.
Face like a lotus.
Vijaya sake.
Vijaya sake.
Unto the friend of Arjuna.
Unto the friend of Arjuna.
Rati yastu. May attraction be reposed upon him.
May attraction be reposed upon him.
May
my
anavadya,
anavadya,
without desire for fruitive results.
Without desire for fruitive results.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure potency, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Dev, on his bed of arrows, after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy. Arjuna was his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Sake, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Rajadham. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal humor of the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal rasa, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhajijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Shcha. And so Grandfather Bhishma was very much appreciating the beauty of Krishna. Indeed, there is no one more beautiful than Krishna. Even the most beautiful woman, you see, she cannot compete with the beauty of Krishna. As described here, nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Just imagine the most beautiful persons on this planet. And if you magnify that 1,000 times, then that is the beauty of the residents of the heavenly planets. And if you crank that up another 1,000-fold, 1,000,000 times from the earthly realm, then you have some rough idea of how beautiful the inhabitants of the spiritual world are. But Krishna exceeds everyone. No one can compete with Krishna. Because anyone who possesses any degree of beauty, either in this world, the heavenly planets, or even in the Vaikuntha realm or Krishna Loka, any beauty possessed by any living being is simply a little tiny fragment of a 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 fragment of the beauty of Krishna. So therefore, how beautiful must Krishna be? He's the source of all beauty, any beautiful thing, a beautiful flower, a beautiful song, a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful girl, you see, any beautiful thing in this world. Simply a little tiny, insignificant, infinitesimal fragment, minuscule, infinitesimal fragment of the beauty of Krishna. So, therefore, Krishna is the source of all beauty. Everything beautiful is Krishna, is simply the emanation of Krishna. So, we all like beautiful things, isn't it? A beautiful sunrise, a beautiful girl. Everyone likes to see. A beautiful painting. Everyone likes to see. We're all attracted by beauty, that's a thing. But when you become attracted by the beauty of Krishna, then it's like nothing else is that appealing anymore. I mean, it's okay, but it's just, you know. Once you get a taste for that beauty of Krishna, all the other beauties of this world, you say, well, they're second rate, third rate, fourth rate. They don't compete with Krishna. So, someone who actually experiences the beauty of Krishna, they will naturally fall deeply in love with Krishna. I just want to see Krishna 24 hours a day. I just want to see Krishna. Who wants to, once you've experienced the supreme beautiful thing, who wants to see anything else in this world, you see? Just like a mundane example, some guy falls in love with a beautiful girl. All he wants to see is his girlfriend 24 hours a day. He doesn't want to see anything else. He doesn't want to see his girlfriend 24 hours a day, you see? A beautiful girl, you see? So that's a mundane example. So, in the same way, when the devotee awakens his transcendental love of God within the heart, as described by Brahmaji, Premanjana charita bhakti velochanena santaksa daiva hidayeshu veloke yanti yangsha mushunja ramachyagunaspa rupam govindamandi purusham damaham bhajami. When your eyes are anointed by the salve of love of God, then you can see Krishna everywhere within and without. So this bhakti is a very great science of how you can experience the supreme beauty at every minute within and without. Within your heart you can see, and externally you can see the supreme beauty at every minute. Wow! Yamang pashyati sarvacha sravancha mayi pashyati. Krishna says, for one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Bhagavad Gita 6:30. So just imagine if you can awaken that Krishna darshan, you see, that pure vision of seeing God at every minute. Somebody just wrote me, they said, you know, I'm going to see God, you know. Actually, that is not the way to see God. I want to see God. Okay, God, I want to see you. That's not the way. It's like, I'm going to see the president. You fly up to Washington, you go to the White House, you tell the guards, I'm going to see the president. Well, who are you? I'm so-and-so from Austin, and I want to see the president. I'm sorry, you know, you got to have an appointment. You know. So there's a qualification if you want to see President Obama, you see. If even seeing President Obama, there's some qualification. How much qualification there is to see God? Desire to see them is very nice. But you have to know what is the qualification. You can't just barge your way in and, okay, Krishna, I want to see you. Actually, one school teacher, one atheistic school teacher, she told the students, you see, they can promote atheism in the classroom, that's okay, but they cannot promote God in the classroom. Then they lose their job. Just see the bias now, the atheistic bias in our modern-day educational system. The teacher told the students, students, let's see if there's God. We'll make an experiment if God exists. The teacher said, God, if you're out there, show us a sign. Give us a thunderbolt, you know, give us something to show us that you're out there. Okay, God, we're ready, we're waiting. See, students? There's no God. Is it? But that's like, I mean, that's a ludicrous thing. Just like saying, okay, President Obama, if you really exist, then you have to come here and knock on my door and come to my house here today. Otherwise, you're just something made up by the media, you know, just some the media concocted you. Actually, the Republicans are actually ruling, but, you know, this is something, some plot, you know, that there is no actually, there's no President Obama. It's just a whole thing. There was some Hollywood actor, you know, and it's just the whole thing's fake. Is it? If you really exist, President Obama, I'm sending an email to the whitehouse.gov, you know. I'm sending an email to President Obama. If you really, I think you're just a Hollywood actor. It's not really real. If you're really real, then you prove it by coming here to Austin and knocking on my door. You see? Then I'll accept that you're real. What kind of, I mean, that's ridiculous. But that's how they approach God, you see. Just see how ridiculous it is. And people actually buy it. They actually buy these atheistic arguments. Why? Because they don't want to give up sinful activities. That's exactly why. See? A criminal wants to deny the authority of the government so he can continue with his criminal activities. You understand? He wants to say, oh, there's no government or the government's bogus. You see? Simply so he can carry on with his nefarious activities. So these sinful class of men, they want to deny the existence of God so they can continue, at least continue imagining that they can engage in their sinful activities without having to take any responsibility for them. Because they have God and he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent, that means he's witnessing everything I'm doing, and my God, I'm really doing some, you know, pretty dirty stuff, but, you know, I just don't want to get caught, but I'm really doing some dirty stuff. And, if there's a God, I'm in big trouble. So better if I can find somebody to give me a philosophy, like Chucky Darwin, you know, Chuck Darwin, Charles Darwin, Chucky. If I get somebody that helps me, can give me a philosophy where I can chuck God out the window, you see. And that's very good. So in Britain, they celebrate Charles Darwin, you see. That's one thing. When we go to Britain, we're in transit a lot of times. We have to spend a night at an airport hotel, but we have to pay for the bus to get to the hotel, and we have to use British money. So I always carry British money from it. It says Charles Darwin there. And everybody's like, oh my God, you know. They celebrate him. They put him on the money, you see. He's our great hero of Britain, Charles Darwin, you see. At least they could put Shakespeare or somebody like that, you know. Why don't they put Charles Darwin on the money? You know? But they very much worship him as the great hero, you see, Charles Darwin. And now they have a new competitor, that Dr. Stephen Hawking's. A new Britisher is coming up to try to show that he's even more cool than Darwin, you see. Because he says everything comes out of absolutely nothing. And they applaud him as the greatest brain in the world, you see. So these sort of philosophies are very popular in the minds of persons who don't want to give up sinful activities, who want to be able to continue engaging in gross sense gratification without having to take any responsibility. You see, they want to deny the law of karma. They want to deny that God can see them and they will have to face the music for what they have done throughout their life. So, you know, it's like the example of the animal, you know, being, the rabbit is being chased by a predator and it's hopeless. There's no escape, so he just closes his eyes and hopes for the best. I'm hoping it's not real, it's just a dream. It's not really real, I'm just going to close my eyes, you see. The animal will do that sometimes. I mean, it's hopeless and he's in great fear, he just closes his eyes. Not really real, it's not really happening, you know. So we may close our eyes and say, oh, there's no God. Not really real. It's not really happening. The death is coming to snatch me away at any minute. Just imagine now, science will solve it soon. In fact, one scientist was saying, you know, just be really careful, you know. Don't have any accidents. Take your vitamins. Because very soon, science will find the way to make you immortal. He was actually saying, don't be careful. Don't have any accidents. When you ride your bike, be really careful. Wear a helmet, you know. And when you drive, you know, make sure to put your seatbelt on and drive very carefully, because very soon, science will find a way to make you immortal. You just got to live long enough. Because it's right on the verge of doing it. That's what the scientist is saying. This is called post-dated blank check. Post-dated check, yeah, post-dated check. Now let me ask you this, you see. If you were a car dealer and somebody came to your car lot to buy a car and they said, you know, I got the money in the bank. Actually, I don't have the money in the bank right now, but over the weekend I'm going to put the money in the bank. So I'm going to give you a check, post-dated check for Monday, on Friday, you know. Just go ahead and trust me, you know, take my post-dated check for Monday. Give me the car, give me the keys, give me the title and everything. And just here's my post-dated check. Don't worry, the money will be in the bank by Monday. Will you give the car to that person? You see, but that's what the scientists are handing us. They're handing us a post-dated check. Well, we can't make you immortal right now, because you don't have the funds in the bank right now, but just trust us that by Monday morning, the funds will be in the bank. Take this post-dated chip, you know, and give us millions and billions of dollars for our laboratories and our, you know, our yachts and our second homes out there on the lake and all the nice frills we're enjoying with all the money you're giving us. Actually, previously, many years ago, I had opened a preaching center. It was quite an adventure. The GBC sent me out there all by myself, and I, a lone one-man preaching center. But I was going on there, had some nice preaching there for a couple of years. I got a house near the campus. I was living all alone, and it was quite nice. Some really nice preaching there we did, and got a lot of people chanting Hare Krishna. But anyway, my next door neighbor was a physics graduate student in the Department of Physics at the University of Oklahoma. And he told me that the professors lied to the government to get about their research in order to get further government grant money to carry on with their research, which was fallacious. In other words, they were cheating the government out of huge sums of money, you see, just to keep their own income flowing, to keep their jobs. They weren't actually producing what they said they were producing, and they were lying. He told me honestly, because he was an insider, and he was a student at the time. He wasn't on the payroll. If he'd been on the payroll, I'm sure he wouldn't have told me, but he actually told me the truth. They were lying to the government to get government money for their, you know, their research. But they weren't actually getting the results that they said they were getting. But to keep that money flowing, keep their big nice fat income checks coming, they were lying to the government. So we're not interested to take instructions from such people. You see, we're lighters, cheaters, sense gratifiers. We're not interested in taking our instructions from such people. Unscrupulous propaganda mongers, you see. We're not interested in taking our knowledge from such persons. We want to hear from the great saintly persons who have fully absorbed themselves in selfless service to the Supreme Lord. Mahajana yena gatastha panta. The knowledge we are studying here in this Krishna consciousness movement is not something concocted in the brain of a philosopher. This is knowledge revealed by God himself. This is revealed knowledge. It's not some speculative concoction. It is knowledge directly revealed by God. That's why you read in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. Sri means beautiful, and Bhagavan means he who possesses all opulences, the Supreme Lord. And Uvacha means speaks or spoke. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. So we are studying the direct words of God and the direct words of the great devotees of God who are fully realized in God consciousness. And this knowledge was the foundation of the entire Vedic civilization, which flourished for thousands and millions of years before the present age of Kali, in which we are now suffering. It began 5,000 years ago, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Before this age, the whole planet was very auspicious. I was hearing Prabhupada's description of the situation of the people during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira 5,000 years ago. There was no anxiety, there was no disease. I mean, there was proper rain, there was proper foodstuff production. Everything was very auspicious. You didn't need hospitals back then because people didn't get sick. You see? So it was a whole different atmosphere. We can't even imagine. And we're so much in a deplorable, miserable state right now. We can't really imagine how bad it is. It's much worse than we actually even realize it, because we're conditioned. Just like one author, he wrote a book, what was his name? Richard Farina. He wrote a book called I've Been Down So Long. It looks like up to me. So that's our position. We're in so much a suffering condition. And because the actual nature of the living entity is confirmed in the Vedic wisdom, anandamayo vyasat, the actual condition of the living entity is blissful. The living entity is naturally blissful by nature. So if you put him into a condition of complete suffering, what's he going to try? What's he going to do? He's going to imagine that it's bliss, because that's his nature. He's going to imagine that it's blissful, because his life becomes intolerable. It would become intolerable to even a keen living if he didn't think he was enjoying. So to be able to tolerate this such misery, to be able to continue living, he thinks that he's happy. How are you doing today? Fine. Isn't it? How are you doing? Fine. 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 When I was a student at the University of Texas, I was philosophical in nature, and so I knew I was suffering. I didn't want to be in this artificial, you know, fine, fine, fine mentality. I knew I was miserable. I was looking, you know, that's a philosophical, one who has a philosophical mind, he doesn't want to live a lie, okay? He'd rather be honestly say that he's miserable than artificially think that he's happy. That's a philosopher, a true philosopher. So I had a philosophical frame of mind, and one of the fellow students in my, I was a drama major at the time, studying acting. And one of my fellow students in the hallway said, "How you doing?" I said, "Miserable." He said, "Don't say that." I said, "Depressed." "Don't say that." Immediately, "Don't say that. You know, don't blow the cover again. We're all imagining that we're really happy. You know, please, please, don't bring in the reality that we're all miserable. Just don't say it. Don't say it. We're playing this little game. Fine, 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 fine game. You see. But don't you dare say you're depressed. We don't, you know, don't say it. Don't pop the little bubble we're all blowing here that we're all happy. Please." So I decided to head out from the drama department. I got full time in the self-realization after that. I can't play this little game, you know. It's not me. I can't plug into this artificial game. Actually, that's when I found about the chanting of Hare Krishna and started really going into some new, real higher education, you can say. Started to enter into the realm of true higher education, not the so-called higher education. Down here, the University of Texas, you can look at the wonderful statement engraved in the Tower Building, "Know you the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Ask a professor, "What is that truth that will set me free?" Just ask them and see what they say. See if any professor can give you an answer. Here at the University of Texas, it is said, "Know you the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What is that truth that will set me free? Tell me. Well, you see, one of the professors was saying, you know, you should have telling the students, yeah, have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, it's cool, you know. He's encouraging all the students to practice bisexuality. Can you imagine? Such a people, they can maintain their positions at the university. But you mention God, oh, you're out. You see, immediately out. I remember on my way to I took one course there after I came back here years ago. I was a student there back in the 60s, but I came back here and opened our center here and started preaching again in Austin back in the 90s, actually. A couple of decades ago, we came back to Austin, and I thought it'd be interesting, since they have a Sanskrit department down there, to take a Sanskrit course and learn a little bit about Sanskrit, you know, the mother of all languages. And I remember on the way to my final exam, it was a really cold December day. So I went through one of the buildings on the way, you know, instead of walking outdoors, I walked indoors to get to my final exam location. And I walked through the student health center, and there in the lobby they had information on how to have lesbian sex without catching AIDS. This is the kind of sex education they're giving. They're showing how a lesbian can have sex without catching AIDS. Lesbian sex without catching AIDS. Because what kind of education is this, you know? I mean, come on, I mean. Wow. This is the kind of education they're giving at the University of Texas. And so what is that truth that's going to set everybody free? You see, that is Krishna consciousness. Actually, it's a quote from the Bible, but they wouldn't dare put Jesus' name up there now. It used to be okay, but now, if you mention Jesus, it's politically incorrect, you know. You mention God, well, that's politically incorrect, you see. You can't offend, now we can't offend anybody, you see. We can't offend the lesbians, we can't offend the gays, we can't offend the atheists. Of course, We can offend God, that's all right. It's okay to offend. We can't offend anybody, but we're allowed to offend. There's one person we're allowed to offend, that's God. It's okay to offend him. But everybody else, no, we can't offend the gays, you can't offend the lesbians, the homos, the next, maybe they'll add the pedophiles next. We can't offend the pedophile. What's the next step in the degeneration of the American culture? You can't offend anybody except for God. It's okay, you can offend him. So this is a very degraded culture, very, very degraded culture. And it's going down, 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 down. That's a fact. So this Krishna consciousness movement is of the most, of the utmost importance for bringing sanity and proper leadership back to this planet. If they will take our guidance, we can solve every single problem of this planet. Every problem, global warming, terrorism, you know, water shortage, you name it, we can solve every, if they will take our leadership, we can solve every single problem on the face of this planet. That's it. So if we don't take our leadership, this world civilization is finished. It's finished. It's predicted that in a few years there's going to be a huge food shortage on this planet. Just the way the numbers are working now, the way the population is coming up, the way the amount of it's called arable land that you can use for agriculture, that's going down. It's shrinking. It's just, you, if you analyze the numbers, it's very clear that we're heading for a tremendous upheaval of the entire world situation in the upcoming years. It's predicted by the year 2025 how there'll be that very large percentage of the world will not have sufficient water. We're talking, that's only, you know, what's that, 13 years from now. I mean, it's a very, very bad situation. So we're trying to get this message out. We're trying to, you know, it's like you're on the Titanic and the ship is heading towards the iceberg and you're trying to get the message to the captain, but he's down in the ballroom dancing in with the orchestra and, you know, it's kind of like that, you know. We're trying to get the message through to the leaders. Of course, the good news was that the former U.S. President, Bill Clinton, he was in Santa Monica, and he happened to notice one of our devotees out distributing books on the sidewalk with his shaved head, his tilak, you know, the full Vaishnava dress. And Mr. Clinton ignored everybody else, and he walked up and shook hands and hugged the devotee, you see. So it's nice to see that somebody in some leadership position is appreciating our movement, you see. It's nice to see that. It gives us some hope that maybe he got the Bhagavad Gita, maybe what's happening now. He's a very influential person, Mr. Bill Clinton. Very influential right now. So we're hoping that, you know, I'm just watching my email. Maybe he'll get on the internet. Who knows? I'm always hoping that with my e-course, some very influential people will actually, you know, they can secretly do it without anybody knowing or associating with the Hare Krishna, you know. I'm just hoping that somebody, I get some email someday from somebody, you know, we need help, please guide us what to do. I'm hoping for that day. Because if these people don't take Krishna consciousness, the world civilization is finished. It's not going to last much longer. It's just, it's like the poet, the Irish poet Yeats predicted. In his poem called The Second Coming, he said, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." That was his prediction. But he also envisioned some sort of second coming, some great spiritual leader would come. And of course, that was Prabhupada. Is it? He also envisioned, this was written maybe 100 years ago, but he envisioned some great spiritual leader, you know, coming. And that was Prabhupada, actually. Prabhupada came. So if we can take Prabhupada's message very seriously by studying these books, by living these books, then our lives will become transformed. We will not be touched by the devastation that will go on around us. And if they listen to us, there'll be no devastation. The whole world situation can be completely reversed. We can make this a paradise on earth once again, like it was during the previous ages. It's predicted it will happen, actually. It's predicted there will be a golden era of God consciousness on this planet beginning 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Now, it is manifested in the hearts of those who have seriously taken Lord Chaitanya's movement. They're already living in that golden era of transcendental bliss. And we just want to spread the mercy of Lord Chaitanya now so everybody can live in this golden era. And if the leaders can take it, it'd be an incredible, the most incredible paradigm shift in the history of the universe if the leaders can take this Krishna consciousness. So whether they take it or not, we have to become leaders, you see. Yad yadatarati shresta sattateve taro jana siyat pananam kurute lokastad anuvartate. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, text number 21. Whatever the great man, and that includes women also, by the way, whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So we need men and women now who are going to develop saintly qualities. You see? We need men and women now who will develop saintly qualities, who will give up sinful activities and take to chanting the holy names of God and living a holy life, you see. Such persons, men and women, are the ideal leaders on this planet. And they can influence so many people by their example and by their words. So this is our mission, to become acharyas, ideal Vaishnavas, and to save the whole world. This is our mission. So I can ask you any questions. Yeah.
Why do we say men and women? Because everybody has equal right. Why don't we just say men? Well, women are also men nowadays.
Yeah, that's true. Now it's unisex. Now women are also men. That's true. Actually, we're all human. We're all human, so we're all men. Yeah, we're all men. It's like now that they used to say guys and gals. Now everyone's a guy, you know. So the language has changed. Maybe they'll just eliminate the word women now. Just we're all being men. The equal rights, you know. No, we used to say guys and gals, but now everybody's a guy. English has shifted in America anyway. It used to be guys and gals, and now everyone's a guy. So it could shift also. Why men and women? Everyone's a man. You know, why not just say everybody's a man? Or maybe it'd be better, we say everybody's a woman. That would, you know, maybe the women is to say, but no, let's say everybody's a woman. But actually that's true spiritually. According to our scriptures, the woman means prakriti, or energy, and purusha means enjoyer. So there's actually only one male, and that's Krishna. According to Vaishnava theology, we're all women. Actually, we're all women. Whether we have male bodies or female bodies, we're all women. Prakriti, we meant to be enjoyed by God. So we're all women. So if they want to eliminate the word man and call everybody a woman, I have no objection. Because I'm a woman, anyway. You know. I'm a woman, spiritually speaking. I'm a woman. I may have a deep voice, but, you know, I'm a woman. I'm not a man. Krishna's the only man. I mean, I'm talking philosophically and spiritually. Of course, physically, the bodies are different. But spiritually, we're all women, actually. In the sense of being enjoyed by God, you see. In Sanskrit language, the words are prakriti and purusha. Even I, in Hindi also, I saw, we went to one, on the way to Vrindavan, I had nature call and I had to stop for, you know, use a restroom. And we stopped at one gas station and there it was, said Prakriti and Purusha. Instead of saying men and women, it said Prakriti and Purusha on the two bathrooms, right? I said, oh yeah, just what we... So Prakriti means female and Purusha means male. But according to theological understanding, every living entity is Prakriti, meant to be enjoyed by God, who is the one Purusha. So, in that sense, our philosophy is actually quite amazing. It's the most beautiful, amazing philosophy. I mean, even amongst spiritual philosophies, this is the highest level. This is like you can study spirituality on the bachelor's level, you know, maybe like Christianity or Judaism or Islam, you see. You can go to the, you know, the master's degree level, the PhD level, that is Vaishnava philosophy. There's no difference between Christianity and Krishna consciousness, actually. But it's just a matter of going deeper into the same subject matter. We also accept Jesus as our Savior, see. But just a matter of going deeper into the subject matter. That's it. Any other questions? Yeah.
Guru Dev, we've become so callous. Like yesterday I was at the doctor's office and they were showing Martha Stewart on television cooking ground beef. And everybody just sits there like it's totally normal.
Yes, we're desensitized. The cow is our mother.
How can we get that back?
Well, we have to get over being desensitized ourselves. That's the first thing. You see? You know, it's like if you want to convince others, we have need to increase our own conviction. How do you convince a mediator it's wrong? You can't do it. Actually, even if you show them pictures of a slaughterhouse, how horrible it is, most of them will say, yeah, that's pretty horrible, but they'll continue eating the meat. They say, well, thank God I don't see it. It's, somebody else does it, and they go eating it. You can go to a McDonald's hamburgers and with a picture of a flyer of a slaughterhouse. Say, what are you doing? They say, that's funny. Keep eating and just throw the piece of paper away. You can't convince people who are addicted to the taste of blood and flesh to give it up because they enjoy the taste. That Big Mac really tastes good, right? You can't convince them. It's their favorite food. Are you asking me to give up my favorite food? You see? Or that, I love my Kentucky Fried. It's really good, you know? You can't convince them to give up. You're crazy. Are you from Mars or something? Telling me to give up my Big Mac and my Kentucky Fried? You must be from Mars. I mean, that's... So, the real thing is you have to give them prasadam. Because once somebody has a taste of Krishna prasadam, they go, wow, you know, forget the Colonel and Ronald, old Ronald McDonald, forget those characters. I'd rather take Krishna prasadam. So you have to give them a taste of Krishna prasadam, you see. And immediately, as soon as one gets a higher taste of Krishna prasadam, who wants to eat that garbage, you know? Karma burgers, you know? He wants to eat another karma burger. Any other questions? Robert, no questions.
Off the top of my head, no.
What about deep within your heart?
Not sure.
Huh?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Rosie?
How do you offer food to Krishna?
For a little small donation, you can take a little book over that'll give you everything and you know how to offer it. Come and show her which book it is. Just give like a donation in a little basket and then take that book home. Give the donation and then take it home. It should be in there. Someone can show her the page number. And that other book, Krishna Consciousness at Home, is it up there? Yeah, so give like a dollar or something and take these two books with you. This is what you need, how to practice it at home.
I think I have this.
Huh?
I think I have
You have it already? Okay. Yeah, that book will tell you, the Krishna Consciousness home book will give you everything you need to know. The other book is good for the prayers that we sing here. But the Krishna Consciousness home book was a very good book for tell you how to practice at home. Huh?
She took it yesterday. Krishna Consciousness.
She got one yesterday? Okay. Yeah, that book will tell you, study Krishna Consciousness at home, and that'll tell you everything about how to start your practice now. How to become, you can play around with being a devotee in your home and just as an experiment. See what it's like to be a devotee. You can try doing it and see how you like it. You don't have to buy it, but try the shoe on, you see. You can try on the shoe and see how you like it. Walk around with it. You don't have to buy it. But you can, you follow that book, Krishna Kanya's home, you can put the shoe on and walk around with it and see how it feels, if it's a good fit or not for you. Okay? All right, anything else? Yeah.
Gurudev, you mentioned how it's very impersonal, kind of, when we ask how we're doing and people just say fine and they smile. But in the society of devotees, also, we want to be gentlemanly. So how do we behave politely towards devotees we might not be confidential with?
If somebody asks how you're doing,
yeah,
and you're feeling miserable, it depends on who it is, you know. If it's your spiritual master, then you should definitely say, Gurudev and Rili and Maya, please help me. You know, it depends on who it is. If it's some, a guest at the temple, you can say, I'm relishing the, you know. You really have to... think in terms of what's beneficial for your Krishna consciousness and theirs. That's the criterion. The six guidelines are given, beautiful guidelines, given in the introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the first two are the most applicable for this answering this question. The first one is to accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness. The second one is to reject whatever is unfavorable. So whatever will best facilitate your Krishna consciousness and that person who asked you the question. That's how you answer it.
Will you explain it one more time?
All right. Somebody says, how you doing? It depends on who it is. If it's your spiritual master, or it's Guru Mata, if it's one of your God brothers, or if it's a guest, you may answer the question differently. Depending on what's beneficial for your Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness of the person who asked you the question. You see? If someone says, how are you doing today? You say, well, you tell him I'm getting the mercy of Krishna. You may be feeling bad, but still you can transcendentally see I'm getting the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is blessing me and I'm advancing in Krishna consciousness. You could honestly tell someone, you know, a new person. If it's your spiritual master, you can say, Gurudev, I'm really in trouble, you know, my mind is so disturbed. I'm tormented by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, illusion, and envy. Please save me, Gurudev, please help me. You see. So it depends on who asks you. So now I'm thinking maybe I should, after the class, maybe I should ask you how you're doing. But you really have to think about not only your Krishna consciousness, but their Krishna consciousness too, when you answer the question.
One request is, if we can start a couple of days, we can end the class on time, would be appreciated.
All right, so we have a comment, and I accept that comment. So we're going to end the class now, because it's a marathon today and tomorrow. And the day after, the next 3 days, we're not going to have big, big, long, long overtime classes because of the... Today we're getting ready for Janmashtami, which is tomorrow. This is a big, big day, the final push to get everything ready for Janmashtami. So today we will end the class only slightly late, only 7 minutes, only 10 minutes late. So we thank you all very much. Vantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai.